Hello there, this is the Library Talker, also known as Library Lady. I'm Library Talker at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted. So today I am going over an ARC that I got that apparently has already been released, but it's still available on NetGalley right now to go ahead and download. Alrighty, cool. So it's called Frogman's Response. It's by Heidi Voss. And it's a YA novel, realistic fiction type thing. We've got our main character, who is Matthew Shaw. He has kind of a troubled life. His best friend just moved recently, like right before the story takes place, and he hasn't heard from him in a while. His stepsister has moved to go to college about an hour away. His stepfather has just up and left because Matthew's mom is kind of cray-cray. It's stated that she's a hoarder, but it's not... It's really odd based on what I've seen about hoarders. And of course, I don't know everything about hoarders. She does keep stuff. She does go to thrift stores. But she also has this tendency to go and insist on things being cleaned. It's just she doesn't want to do it. She works too hard. She's too exhausted. She can't handle it. So she insists that her son and her stepdaughter do it. Whenever her stepdaughter comes to visit to do laundry or whatever, boom, you gotta go clean the bathroom. And at this point in time, Matthew is just kind of sick of all of it. He's 15, and he's dealing with the fact that his room is the one and only clean space. In fact, he keeps removing stuff. He goes in the opposite direction. He's trying to make it as little stuff as possible to counteract his mom's behaviors in the hallway and the stairway and the bedrooms and everything else. His room is the only clean space basically left in the entire place. And he's trying to teach her because she keeps, you know, saying it's your fault, Matthew. You're not doing anything. You're not cleaning the house. And so, you know, when the ants start showing up and other things, he keeps trying to point out that she's the one who's not cleaning. But again, it's too hard. It's too much. So he's disappeared into this video game land. He has some retro consoles, and he does. He works on emulators and that kind of stuff. And he tries to find old retro games. He's not a new gamer. He's a retro gamer. And he has a pocket thing, and he carries around with him and that kind of stuff. And so he's trying to live that life as well as, you know, he can't have any control over his own, basically, because of his mom and because he's 15 and because she's, you know, kind of this hoarder person behavioral thing where she wants him to clean everything all the time. So that's where I'm just kind of like, but yeah, his job is to keep everything spick and span at home. So he's basically has no control over that part of his life. And so the school's website had created a counseling forum where you could ask the Henry Blake High advice columnist, you could ask for advice on something. And it was being run by a counselor named Litzo. And the advice that's given is the official practical adult advice, you know, that you might see from a kind of stuck-up counselor, and I've met a few of those, who, you know, don't necessarily have a realistic idea of how to approach things for teens. And so, in the beginning, whole advice column also includes a forum where others could respond, and he's created a persona called Frogman. And his Frogman character goes in and responds. And for the most part, a lot of the advice that, you know, were at least shown is not bad. I mean, it's pretty realistic teen-wise. It's what you would think they would be saying, you know, and it's kind of straightforward. And Problem is that Lizzo does not appreciate Frogman and his responses. So since he can't seem to find who Frogman is, he shuts down the page, basically making it so nobody can make any comments anymore. So advice can still be requested. Students can still submit a question to the advice column, but there's no forum anymore. And so Matthew, now this is one more thing that is taken out of his control, and he's upset because, you know, he's met Lizzo, and Lizzo's a kind of a dweeb and not really practical or understanding the real world for teens. He is also a very negative counselor. It's like, no, you can't get into these places. You know, you'll never make it. Even if you do these things, you'll never, ever, ever get there. So you might as well give up. You know, he's a very negative, not nice guy. Matthew's social life is pretty nil as well, since his best friend had moved to Arizona. He's kind of got not much of anything. One point, one of the guys in his class is got this anarchy newsletter, puts out things about, you know, anti-everything, anti-school, anti-organization, anti-government, anti-anti. And he just is constantly writing and constantly putting out these flyers. And Matthew thinks, hey, wait a second. If I want an advice column, I could convince this guy to create a blog and then tack my advice column onto it and get it out there. And he's just really into, I've got to get this advice column out. And at some point there's another person who ends up joining, and there's the three of them now running this website, this underground website for the school, and giving advice. And it's the advice column that gets the most traffic, which of course our anarchist is not really happy about. He wants people to pay attention to him and his anarchy and the message that he's saying, and you know, that kind of stuff. So there's a little bit of in there. When the two, Riley and Evan, the two additional people, when they finally meet Matthew's mom, they kind of understand better where he's coming from and try and help him out. But yeah, he's got a lot of embarrassment with that. He has deals with the bullies on the campus, deals with overhearing the reactions to his advice, as well as some of the things that have gone down after. Again, everything, you know, the advice that he's given is not unrealistic. It's pretty real, but some people are not appreciating it. Some people are thinking that he is causing problems and causing more trouble and making things more difficult. And, you know, by giving people an honest response, it's, you know, and not the response that they kind of want to hear, tends to get people a little upset. And some of this is also, he keeps a composition notebook for his English class, but in it he puts his notes for what he wants to say on his website. He has to write it down first before he puts it on his blog. And there's a little bit of confusion as you're reading the story, because sometimes it's hard to tell if you're reading his draft as his drafted response or his actual published response to something. And sometimes it's like, no, I can't put that out there after you've read it. And you're like, wait, oh, okay. So no, all right. So it gets a little kind of, confusing at points. The end kind of rushes. There's some realistic, very realistic moments. There's some realistic problems that he's having. You know, he has some real issues that he's dealing with. His mom is a definite piece of work all on her own. And how he, you know, this whole thing rounds out and how he gets found out and everything all kind of comes to a head very quickly and then resolves very quickly. And it's kind of like, okay, that's it. That's all. That's the end. Okay. So it's just a little weird that way. Again, with the realistic part, it's good. With the advice that he's giving, it's not anything I wouldn't have probably wanted to at least say, even if I wouldn't have had to put it down on paper that way. So, yay. But again, you know, there are some issues, the resolution and everything. My other issue is just the name of the book. Frogman's Response sounds like it's a sequel. And I just kept trying to figure out, was there a first one? Was there a Letter to Frogman? You know, was there something, was there a previous book? Because Frogman's Response sounds like, again, like a sequel, like it's coming after something. So did Heidi Voss write something before that had this character, and now this is, you know, now he's no longer a side character or whatever. Now he's out there and he gets to be his own character. I couldn't tell, and I don't know. So I was a little frustrated by that. I think the title, again, is just awkward. The cover is interesting enough, I guess, but I've having been a teacher, having worked with teens for a very long time, I can tell you that all of these characters exist. Every school has every single one of the people in this story, and they're in there. Maybe not what those names, but they're all in there. There's all of them are normal, perfectly realistic characters. I really got frustrated with Evan in his anarchy thing, because his anarchy thing wasn't really anarchy. But again, then I have to think, but it's the teen version of anarchy. It's what the teen thinks anarchy is, and so therefore and okay. But again, while the story itself is realistic and the characters are fairly realistic, it doesn't really flow so great. The mother character it's just hard to get a read on. It's like she's really one-dimensional. And in the end, Matthew's not super three-dimensional either. So it's just kind of a lot of the stereotypical teens. So as I'm saying, yes, I've seen in every school they have these teens. That's kind of a good and a bad. Yes, it's realistic, but it's also kind of stereotyping. Every school has the class clown. Every school has the reticent kid who is a really good writer and just isn't applying himself or herself. Every school has the anarchist. Every school has the person trying to fit in everywhere and ending up not fitting in anywhere. You know, there's all of these characters exist in there. So realistic and yet also kind of stereotyping. So in terms of realistic fiction, definitely it's there. In terms of his growth, not really. The story resolves, but there's not really any growth from it. It doesn't seem like the mom has learned anything. It doesn't seem like his life is getting any better or changing. It just seems like maybe he's, you know, gotten through this event. So it is, you know, in the sense of realistic, yeah, that's what life is like. You know, you don't have a happy ever after and everything's done. You resolve one point and move to the next point. But it just kind of feels incomplete and unfinished in that way. And again, the ending is rushed. So on my grand scale of 1 to 5, 1 being avoid, police tape, do not cross, 5 being this is the most amazing thing ever, 2 being eh, 3 being eh, 4 being this is gonna be a 3. And I know I keep doing that, but it is an eh. I mean, it has its moments, it has its good points, but it doesn't resolve well. The characters, you know, there's no real growth on the side characters of Evan and Riley. Litzo never learns anything from it. The other students never, you know, have their moments to apologize or deal with. You know, there's one moment of, oops, I'm sorry, I messed that up. And there's this whole thing at the end with the basketball team, which made no sense at all. I just was like, oh, okay, really? That happened? Sure. And again, Matthew doesn't end up really growing. He makes it through this event and moves on. Again, that is more realistic than many of the realistic fictions that are out there, but it's still kind of meh. So that's Frogman's Response by Heidi Voss. Again, 3 out of 5, for me, it's just, again, incomplete, lacks growth, lacks progress, and could really flesh some of this stuff out a little bit better. And I am, again, the Library Talker, also known as Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on Blogspot at librarytalker.blogspot.com. And I'm the Library Lady on Podomatic, again, where this podcast is hosted. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time and ear at this point. And again, if you have any comments, please feel free to let me know. I would love to hear from you. Thank you very much, and I hope you all have a really great day.